Daf Mem Tes, and we're going to get going with a fantastic
poker or.
If this doesn't win you from it, I don't know. Then we were talking, of course, about a case of tchumim in the Mishnah, where there was an overlapped tchum, and the question was whether you can make a picnic together, three people that have separate tchumim with an overlapping area. Rabbi Shimon managed to sneak in his shita that the same thing would be true about a situation of an eruv chatzerot, where you had a chotzer in the middle, and you had the two chitzoniot, and the two chitzoniot had an eruv with the middle, but not with each other. And of course, he says exactly the same thing. There'd be no problem in using the middle area. And so that was, turns out, says the Gemara, that was really the whole point of his mentioning this idea, because he was trying to show the Chachamim, how would you really distinguish between one case and the other? Why aren't you Choshesh? They made a difference between Afshad Diorim and Lo Afshad Diorim. It depends on the question of how much tumult is going on. Afshad is a sense of tumult, noise, and confusion, and so on. You have a lot of people. There's bound to be a little bit of a problem. And therefore, there we ask, here we don't. And so we got up to yesterday, Omer of Yonam Rav. This is now the source of the Machloket. Four lines up from the bottom. Omer of Yonam Rav, Zudi Vei Rabbi Shimon, Chachamim Omrim, Rishut Achat Mishameshet Shtei Rishuyot, Avolo Shtei Rishuyot Mishapshot Rishut Achat. You can have a situation, according to Rashi, it appears even that his Girsa was without the Taf, Mishameshet, not Mishtameshet. This Mishtameshet, the Tosfos points out, because that says a whole different shot in the Sugya. Mishtameshet would be Mashma, that it is the one that's been used, not that it serves. So, okay, but the Shaila is like this. If you have, according to Rabbi Shimon, it goes in both directions. The middle one can use A and C can use the middle one, and it's similar, therefore, to our case. But the Chachamim say now that you can't have two Rishuyot that are going to be usable by one Rishut, because since these two external, A and C, do not have an Erev, so they're not one Rishut, they're two Rishuyot. Therefore, the middle one cannot use either of them, because on the one hand, it's Diorim, are the Diorim of Erev A. But on the other hand, it's the Urim of the Erev Erev B. And it's impossible for a single Rishus to have two places to live that don't confuse each other. And therefore, by definition, if there's going to be two places, then it can't use either of them, because each one draws it, so to speak, in the other direction. We're not going to give two Mekomot Dira for the same place. So either you're going to have an Erev with A, or you're going to have an Erev with B. But if B and A themselves refuse to relate to each other, how can you possibly have the Urim in two contradictory places? We don't give you two places to live on Shabbat. You're either living here or you're living there. And therefore, your Erev cannot possibly work in both directions. So the middle one, therefore, wouldn't be able to use either. If all three get together, then they're all one big happy family. But as long as A and C don't get together, then B can't use both of them, no possible way. And where it makes an Erev with both, it's unable to use either.
How can A and C get together without, if they have a...
No, they'd have to do it through B, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it would be all three together or nothing.
A and C alone.
I'm sorry? A and C without having something in the middle can't make an error. They don't have any direct connection between them. So this is the Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, and because of that, Rabbi Shimon was making his comment in the Mishnah to strengthen his position. Kamrita Kamei Dishumuel. So all of this was very nice when it was from Rav. This is reviewed as Maimer in front of Rav. But when I came to Shmuel Amali, he said to me, no, you have it all wrong. Rabbi Shimon didn't argue about that issue. Avzu divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon would never have said that the middle chatzer would have a right to use two separate rishuyot. So that idea, Avzu divrei Rabbi Shimon, is not the machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Chachomim. The machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Chachomim is that Chachomim omrim shloshtam asurot. That's the point. Rabbi Shimon himself was never matir for the emtsait to use the chitzonit. He was only matir for the chitzonit to use the emtsait. In other words, A can use the middle because A says, I have an Erev with the middle. What do I know from C? I don't know, I never heard of them. C can use the middle because C says, I have an Erev with the middle. So I am a dayar, basically, until area A. From area A, I don't know anything. But the middle one is being drawn in two contradictory directions. It can't have an Erev with A and yet claim to be able to carry in B. So that's true even on Leibet Rabbi Shimon. Sorry. If I said something else, I meant to. I thought that's what I said. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon would never have argued on that. And actually, in the case that he was saying halamazed domeh, he only meant it in that direction. And he didn't. It was only because we use the words lagabi, the picnic, that this one uses this one and this one uses this one. So we said the same words over here. But over here, it meant that this one uses this one, meaning this one becomes the usage area of this one. Not that they're able to literally share with each other. It's the machlokus over here is whether the whole thing becomes us. That's the question. The Chachomim say, if that's the case, then shlosh tam asurot. So since over here, as we mentioned earlier, I mean, why wouldn't we say that each one is a violation of the other one's area? Since, as far as C is concerned, there are unwanted people here, which is A, that are the Arin that didn't make an Arin. And since, as far as A is concerned, there's unwanted C's that didn't make an Arin. So therefore, nobody can carry, because they have two separate commons, and those commons haven't gotten together with an Arin. That's where there's a machlokas, the Chachomim and Rabbi Shimon. Not whether there could be a tashmish of the middle one with the outside one. Of course the middle one can't use the outside one. You can't go in two directions at once.
And the Chachamim saying that B gives A and C, they are also the both.
Yeah, you won't be, none of them are able to use that area. It's not only one direction, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's one direction. A can use B, and C can use B. And according to Chachamim, no, they can't. Absolutely not. Tanya Kavosit, Rav Yehuda, Aliba de Shmuel. In fact, we have a braita that makes it clear that the way that we're explaining now the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, that of course everybody is made that the middle Rishut cannot use the two extremes at the same time for the same Shabbat, because it says like this in the braita, Omer Rabbi Shimon, Lemaha Davar Domeh, sounds like our Mishnah, except that there's going to be a little piece over here that's going to make it clearer. L'maha davar domeh, what is it similar to where we have our little picnic in the tchum problem? It's the equivalent of shalosh chatzirot, haptuchot zo lazo, uptuchot rishut harabim. That ptuchot rishut harabim, remember, is always an important addition, because if they wouldn't be ptuchot rishut harabim, they would definitely asra one another, because they'd have to go use the other one to move. Irvu shtayim ima emtziot, and if the two of them have an eruv with the middle, ima emtzait. Now watch what happens here in the Braita. Zo mevi amitoch betava ochelet. So A can bring something from a house in A and eat it in B. The zo mevi amitoch betava ochelet, and C can bring something from C and eat it in B. Zo machzeret motra letoch beta. A can take the leftovers of the meal back into the fridge in a house in A. Vizo machzeret motra letoch beta, and C can take leftovers back to the refrigerator in C. Now that's strange. And how about good old B? Uh-huh. So in other words, B does not get any rights. The entire thing is a question of whether A gets rights in B or C gets rights in B, but not that B has a right to go to either A or C. So therefore, according to this, clearly, Rabbi Shimon didn't even make a statement about this. That situation. And he wasn't bringing really a complete dugma to the case of the picnic in the Tumim. He was bringing a partial dugma, avoiding the problem of diorim, which was not an issue for his picnic. Avo chachamim omri, shloshtan asurot, again confirming the opinion of the way Rabbi Shmuel understood the machlokes between the chachamim and the Rabbi Shimon Shita. And it's simply a question, do they asur, are all asur to use that middle rishos, including the middle rishos with them, or is it only the middle rishos with them, that's us, as Rabbi Shimon said. Now this is Shmuel Lishitato, clearly, who said this, because when he's claiming over here that even Aliba the Rabbi Shimon, you can't have one Rishus that has two separate diurim usages, and that's a contradiction, that is Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel Shita is all along. Because remember that Shmuel Shita is that the Das, the Halach is Kedivri HaMeir, correct? So in other words, if we would have found even the Mekel Shita, which is Rabbi Shimon, we would have paskined according to Rabbi Shimon, like the way Shmuel understands, because we'll always go Lekula. And we find that happens to be that Shmuel, even though he says Halacha Kedivri HaMekel, never is matir this problem. Because take a look, Yom HaShmuel, we have a similar case. Before we start this, let me just point out, we have a similar situation in a Chatzar 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 that we would do to a Mavoi Chatzar Mavoi. Remember that a Mavoi... Remember that a mavui consists of various chatzerot, various courtyards that are opening into the mavui, in which each chatzer becomes the equivalent of a house in a chatzer to the mavui. The chatzer to the mavui is as the house is to the chatzer. Now, here you've got the same problem. If you've got a chatzer that has doors to mavuis on either side, and it would make an eruv to mavui on the right and mavui on the left, then there's a problem that is similar to our problem over here, because there are other people using that mavui on the two sides. So this is now our comparative text to see what Shmuel would do about this question. And here's the case. Irva im shnehem. If this chatzer attempts an eruv, meaning a shituf in this case, because mavoi, the technical term for a mixture of chatzerot and a mavoi is a shituf, and it's done differently than in other words, there's less involved, and you don't use a house, you use the chatzer itself for the storage of the eruv. But that we'll see that the prata didn't later. But in any event, irva im shnehem, asura im shnehem. So if this chatzer in the middle would have put in its eruv, its shituf mevaot, with both sides, then it has basically a terrible problem over here. And this, of course, must be true to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon paskets gedat hamaker. So this is the you can't say, well, that's according to Chachamim, who aser at all, no siri. This is even alibi to Rabbi Shimon. And therefore it means that Rabbi Shimon holds, indeed, you have to make up your mind. You can't be a shutaf with the people living in that mavui, and also be a shutaf with the people living in that mavui. You have to make up your mind. Do you live here, or do you live there? And therefore we see that Shmuel Shitato holds, Alibi Rabbi Shimon, a mid-reshut cannot be in two places at once. This is the same case as Chotzer B, being able to use both A and B, and C rather. Can't do that. Well, I mean, the issue with the mavui is that it's its similarity to Rishut Rabim, where we made it into a Rishut HaYachid, and then by putting up something, remember, that was the beginning of the Masechta. Right, but they all use the mavui as the entrance for their homes, which the Chatzar we now look at as their home. So you have to make up your mind. Do you mix with the people on that side of the block, or do you mix with the people on this side of the block? Remember, we're dealing with Jews over here. No compromises. You got to make up your mind.
There's no da'as, of course, with the mavui, just by putting up a lechi.
No. You have to put up food.
So
sure, we'll see. We'll get to practical and we'll get to it. But we use food, basically, the way we use for an eruv, the different shiurim. And we place it in one of the chatzerot of that mavui. So that means all of the chatzerot on one side are making themselves a together party in the mavui. How can you have a together party with somebody who's on the other side? Where all the people on the other side aren't part of your side. So it's a classic case of A, B, and C for chatzerot, basically. And Shmuel is saying that there's no way to do it, even according to Rabbi Shimon.
Which, of course, if all three would agree, then that would be done.
No, because we don't have any access to that mavui. This isn't similar to chotzer. Chotzer is not considered to be a passageway for a b'nai mavui. That part is different. Okay, so lo irva im shnehem. Now, if it didn't put an eruv anywhere, then both mavaot are asur. Because since it uses both sides, sometimes it uses the sides on 5th Avenue, and sometimes 6th Avenue, although an alleyway doesn't really rate an avenue, I guess. This must be Yerushalayim mavui. So there, it asurs on both, because each group of people living, utilizing their particular mivot, are respectively without a partner. One of the chatzerot, this one, hasn't added its 2 cents to their shituf, and therefore both are us. But if it usually uses one entranceway, and only rarely will use the other one, so haitaba achat regila, ubechad ena regila, zesh regila bo asur. So if it utilizes one side and it did not make with either side, then it only asurs with the side that it is wont to use. But on the other side, they can say, look, oh, those guys don't really use this. They're guests here. But they're certainly not diurin who view this as their permanent roadway to their chutz. So the Eina Regilabo is mutter. Amar Rabba Baravuna, a very interesting extension, that according to this, Irvaim She'ina Regilabo, if they did make an Eruv with the side that they don't usually use, well, what happened is the Gilui Dat of the Eruv makes it that the Eina Regila now becomes their diurim in the Mavui. And therefore, they suddenly are matir the ragil side, even though they don't make an eruv with it. So normally, the ragil side alone would have been asur, and the not ragil side would have been mutar, because they would say those people aren't really part of us. But if they made a shituf with those people, then those people are only shayach to them. And since they didn't make an eruv on the other side, they're indicating our real life is with you guys. And therefore, the people on the other side can say, look, they certainly don't. They don't need to be looked at as part of us. Vaharaya, they put their money where their hearts were, and they added it to the other side. So the fact that maybe some of them will walk through here, those are guests. Guests always walk through a mavur. But they're not diurin that will answer our mavur. Very interesting halacha. The ragil suddenly becomes the jilted ragil, and the non-ragil suddenly becomes where your heart lies. Furthermore, v'yamar Abba Bar Avon Amar Shmuel, there's a girsa, by the way, that has Amar Shmuel in the first one as well, continuing on in Shmuel's Piskei Halachos over here, that in irva regila la'atzmo, v'zeh she'ina regila bo lo yirei, v'yatzma lo irva, dochino ta etzo she'ina regila bo, u'kikon zeh kofin amidat ston. Furthermore, if the mavui that was ragil made a shituf, whereas the other side, the people on the other side did not make a shituf, and there was no involvement of this chatzer with either of the sides, then the side that is regilah can say, gentlemen, you are part of the chaos to your left. Because those guys didn't make a shituf, you didn't make a shituf, and you know what? You're part of the people without a shituf. And this week you ain't using our mavui. And we're going to have our mavui for all the good people that donated money to make the shituf hamavui. And not to accept that would be midat zdom. For the people in the chatzer to say, no, we didn't make any kind of Erev, but we bedafka want not to make an Erev with you. not to make an Erev with the other side. And therefore, you cannot carry in your mouth. That's stone already. What do you have to assert? That you actually don't want to make an Erev with this guy. That's the classic case of the shul that I own dominant, you know. So I gotta make the point. And that's considered to be midat zdom. What do you lose by accepting that your malkum will be over here and that your only guest is on the other side? You don't lose anything. And therefore, we can allow the halacha to define it in that fashion, since you don't have a right to assert otherwise. So memela, here too, we have an interesting situation. Even though it's a side that's not ragil, but where I fit into a group of people who didn't make an Eruv, and where I ruin it on the other side for people who did make an Eruv, so then just fit in. Omer of Yoram Shmuel. Another issue would be, ha-makpid al Eruvo, is also another classic Jewish problem. Somebody puts his bread into an Eruv, and they all put it into the common pot, but he runs in and says, nobody take the dark bread, that's mine, you hear me? So, you know, Mashimo, I mean, what was the name of the issue we're dealing with? Eruv, remember? Eruv, what does Eruv mean? Eruv means sweet, mixed, happy. You're not happy, are you? You're not really mixed, you're a phony. You're going through the motions, you're giving in your bread, and you're saying, but nobody touch it, it's only for me. So where's the Eruv? And therefore, if it's not an Eruv, by definition of the word, Rashi relates it to the word Arev, which means sweet. In other words, real mixtures have to be fitting psychologically as well. This is not a psychologically fitting mixture. Others learn, cut the psychology. It's all a question of halacha. Eruv means that I'm willing to let go of my ownership of this thing so that it's common. Who cares whether you're happy about it or not? But the point is, by saying I don't want to let go, so then you haven't made an Eruv. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Eruv, Eruv. It's not true. Technically speaking, it's certainly an Eruv. Ela shenikra me'an shevardina. We call him basically a West Sider Eruv. Everybody's got their own life. That's what he believes. All right, so fine. But it's still an Eruv, technically. It's just not a sweet Eruv. Omer Rav Yonah Meshmuel, the people in Vardina were known for being a little tsarayai, and everybody needed to keep close tabs on his own. Omer Rav Yonah Meshmuel, ha-choleket Eruvo, eno Eruv. Somebody who splits his Eruv. And so they make now the Eruv in two separate containers, that's not called an Eruv. What do you mean? You're trying to say the halakha is like Beit Shammai. I mean, that was a Beit Shammai issue we had yesterday. The Tanya, ha-misha she-gavu et Eruvam, v'natnu b'shnei kelim, Beit Shammai remains Eruv, Beit Hillel remains Eruv. That way you certainly can't be telling me that Shmuel Paskin like Beit Shammai, no, afilu tema Beit Hillel, hatkan lo kamer Beit Hillel hatam, ela demalian lamana v'ayeter. Case over there was that they had filled up one container, there was no room for the rest of it, so they put in another container. Beit Shammai holds by definition the container is part of the formality of the mixing. So if you have it in two containers, you're not mixed. But here we have a different issue. Here we have the psychological problem of insisting that you want it in two separate places. And then again, if you're insisting, then it's not an Eruv. And, of course, if that's the case, why mention it twice? I mean, then it's the same halacha as the first one, where you have a guy who's makban and Zeruv. Ask the Gemara, so if that's the case of a tarte lamali, why do I need two piskei halachot of Shmuel that essentially express the same idea that an Eruv requires a willingness to let go and to be mixed together? I do need both. Because the actually in a hotel, let's say I would have had that earlier case where the guy said, nobody touch my challah. I would say, that's because he's makpit. And it's the hakpadah per se that creates the pirud. Avol hacha emalo, mashenken over here, nobody was makpid. They set it up this way and didn't mix it all the way. There was no expression of hakpadah necessarily. On the other case, yeshvin hacha, from the palgenif, like over here, it is physically separated and therefore not mu'urav. Mashenken in that case, it's, even though the guy's saying, don't touch my challah, in point of fact, it's here together with everybody else's food. So avol hacha emalo, therefore tzricha, we need to know whether it's an expressed contradiction to the concept of Eruv, or whether it's a physical contradiction. In either case, it nixes the definition of Eruv. That we'll see. It depends what we're talking about. There's three Eruvs, remember, we're talking about. We're about to embark on that question whether it needs to be food at all.
One was by Rabbi Nuna, one was by Mohadri. That was his Mohadri's
rabbi. You're right. So that's no good.
Together, you want to make it
edible, we're gonna see about that, whether the food has to indeed be edible, you know, for everybody. It has to be kosher. Remember, there's serious questions about this. Like I say, I mean, the classic question, of course, is some of it's truma. So only the Kohen can eat that part, and the others are Yisrael, and they can, you know. So when it comes to Birkat HaMazon, are they really Rabotai? I mean, are they eating together? I mean, it's true the Kohen can eat with them, but they can't eat with the Kohen, so maybe he's the only one that can bench. So those are issues. Yeah, it happens. So, so we'll see that later.
When Kaylee and three plastic bags.
All right, it's unfortunately not so funny. Yeah. Now, what happened once was that Amalei Reb Abba and Reb Yehuda, Reb Abba met Reb Yehuda while they were in the Bei Ma'atzarta, the Bei Reb Zakkai. Reb Zakkai ran a oil business, so he had a Beit Habad. And they were sitting and talking, and Reb Abba met Reb Yehuda. And he says to Reb Yehuda, so you're telling me basically that according to Shmuel, HaKoleket Eruvo Eino Eruv, but I, from what I know of Shmuel's Piskei Halachot, is that that isn't so, because Va'amar Shmuel, Bayit Sheminichin Bo Eruv, Eino Tzarich Litein. It's a very interesting halacha that since you have to choose one of the homes in the chatzer to deposit the eruv, and the definition has to be in the same place, and since we're trying to create a common dining room, it can't be out in the chatzer, it has to be in a home. That home does not have to contribute to the eruv. Now, why would that be? I mean, I assume the reason is because in that home there is their own food anyway, which means that their food is there by definition. But that would mean that it doesn't have to be in the same container. And Shmuel himself said that. So that means that their bread on the table for their seuda, obviously, is nonetheless considered to be a participant in the Eruv, which is in the box in the corner of the room, and it's still okay. So Lav Mishum de Amar, is that not because the Shmuel was saying, essentially, the Kivan de Monach Besala, Kaman de Mana, so therefore, Kaman de Mana Chakadami, it's as if it's in the actual, wherever it is, it's all mixed together. So Chinami, what's wrong with the case in which it's not on the table, in which it's in a separate container? Why can't we say also, Kivan de Monach Besala, Kaman de Mana Chakadami? So it doesn't really make sense that what you're saying. And he explains to him, Amalei, it has nothing to do with that. If nobody in that house was going to eat at home, they had not a stitch of food in the house, it would still be a perfectly kosher eruv. And it's not because of their participation with their food in the eruv. The point over here is that the home is the mokom hadiur. For everybody, putting the eruv in this home means this is our common dining room. In which case, the diurim in that home are kosher king part of the common dining room. So why do they have to add pot at all? Therefore, this has zilch to do with the whole discussion that Shmuel you were having with nothing to do with Shmuel's side. They were talking about two people who weren't in the house, who put it into two separate kalim that were then deposited in the house. That's a whole different ballgame.
Everybody's trying to say, this is our house, but these are the people who really are our house.
Exactly, it's a kulo hakadari. Everybody's living here anyway, so they are living here. Omar Shmuel, Eruv Mishum Kinyan. This is a tremendous chiddush. Shmuel is saying, you know the way an Eruv works? An Eruv works by utilizing the pot that you're giving to buy yourselves a right in the house where it's being deposited, and therefore you become a virtual owner of the house. V'im tomar, so then you'll say, so then what the heck are we using bread for? We should be putting down dollar bills. Some mipnei ma'in konin bima'a. Why are we using food? That's just because nobody's got a dime left in the house after buying for Shabbos, especially with the economy the way it is now. And therefore, if you're going to tell them they have to use money for an Eruv, they can't make an Eruv. So but everybody's got food Eruv Shabbat. So if you use food, then it's okay. Fine, new. But if a guy wants to give money, I mean, it certainly can't be worse than giving food. So why can't he give money? In that case, why don't we allow him to buy his Eruv? That's Exera Shema Yomru Ma'aika. Because you know what? If you start dealing with money under any circumstances, then naturally people start thinking, well, the real thing is the money. Before you know it, they'll think you can only use money. And then we'll be back where we started from, where we were afraid that people won't make eruvin, and in the end they'll forget about the dinner. And Ati, therefore, in a case where indeed times are bad and there is not money available, Their idea of what an Erev is will be ruined, and they'll end up not utilizing Torat Eruv for having become focused on the monetary issue, which it is not.
Is rental like acquisition?
Yeah.
So conceptually, if they rented the space there?
It would be fine, right. I mean, there's a bigger problem, actually. The bigger problem is this, that we don't require Erevin with people that are Shutafim, even if they're Shutafim in a business on the other side of town. See? In other words, if you have five people that are living in a chutz, all of whom are partners in a business, then that partnership serves as their Erev. But they're certainly not partners in Diurim. Tosfos asks this as a question on Shmuel. Shmuel learns that the idea of an Erev is the purchase. So how could we do without the purchase? I mean, so then it doesn't make sense. If you hold the point of an Erev is that you are partners, so therefore you're all commonly living, you could say a partnership provides you're all partners and you're commonly living. But how in a world would a partnership convey a sense of ownership in the various Diurim? That's what Tosfos says. I mean, it's pushed that if you're going to say, according to Shmuel here, that the Eruv is in terms of Kinyan, then because of the very fact that they are partners and have an element of Kiruv Hadad, there's a certain closeness in the way they're dealing with life, the Chachomim were looked at it as if they were actually mocked them one to another without going through the motion, because they're used to doing things like that. Take a look at some partnerships.
What if they didn't?
It's good even if they didn't. That's the question. If they did, that doesn't wouldn't have a problem. But why are you saying ipso facto your partnership provides you with an Erev, despite the fact nobody said anything about it? That's the question. Rabbah disagrees with this whole thing fundamentally. And he says that's not the way an Erev works at all. Rabbah Amar Erev Mishum Dira. But an Erev has nothing to do with buying. An Erev has the fact that you have a common dining room. And since people very much focus on food, especially on Shabbat, so wherever their food is, that's where they see their Shabbos. So people say, well, for Shabbos, we're at so-and-so. What does that mean? Not sleeping at so-and-so. It's down the block, right? He's saying, we're at so-and-so. So that's because people are focused on food. So datam shaladam al pito is the way the Chazal say it. And if that's the case, that's how it works. On the pot. Pot. Yeah. Okay, so if that's the case, I don't need to buy anything. All I need is really to have a common place where we're all together. And since it's Mishum Dira, I don't know what Shmuel is talking about. How can you possibly become a dayar by getting money? Money's not the issue. So, my binayim, what would be the practical difference, since we already said that according to Shmuel we have a gezeir that you can't use money, even though theoretically you could have. I mean, that's not a practical nafkamina, since it's only a theoretical difference. Practically speaking, what's the difference? There's this big difference. Because, let's say, ikabinayu kli. It would be a difference in terms of kelim, or there would be a difference if it would be pachot mishavet pruta, or there would be a difference if it was a katan, and a katan collect the Erev over here. A katan can certainly collect an Erev if all he's doing is going through the motions of making a common dining room, but how can he create a kinyan? He doesn't have the ability to be kinyan. So all of these things would be practical nafkaminas. Sorry? Oh, well, so this is a problem. Tosis is bothered by the fact that if we've already said that you don't need to have, that you can't use money because of this gezeira, then how exactly do you use the, how does the kli work now? Or, I mean, another way of looking at it is, if you don't have the, you said over here, it's pachot mishavet pruta. So if it's mishum kinyan, you can't make a kinyan with pachot mishavet pruta, right? So in other words, even if you would have enough to eat, eating isn't the point. The problem is, if it has a shavah pruta, why, asks Tosfos, is it worse than a kli? You can't eat a kli, but it seems to be an ironclad problem.
Why is it worse than money?
Well, money, I can understand. You're going to say people will focus on the money. But on a kli, they still view it as, they're not going to say kli and not pot. They may say money and not pot, because money, of course, is a completely different vision of a transaction in their minds. But certainly in terms of value, why do I need mazon shtei se'udot? I don't need kelim shtei se'udot. I need kelim that are worth a shavah pruta. So then I should have food that's worth the shavah pruta. If it's a dayar focused question, then I understand. All I need is, do you have enough food to eat in the common dining room? So you have to have for each one their food. But if it's not a dayar focus, it's a Kenyan focus, according to Shmuel, and he's willing to tolerate Kenyan of an Erev with Kalim, why wouldn't he be willing to tolerate Kenyan of an Erev with food that is worth Pachot Mishavah Pruta? Really, a powerful question. And Tosfos says that in Arginami, if you mention that what you're trying to do is to buy an Erev, so then you could have used any anything besides money. You could have used the kli and so on. And that's what you're doing the kli. Normally, when people collect an Erev, you don't do it derech kinyan. You do it because of the chashivut of the food. The chashivut of the food is in terms of food, not in terms of theoretical value of the food, which is only in business ways. So in other words, there are two ways to make an Erev according to Shmuel. Both of them work technically through giving you rights, but the question is what your focus is. If your focus is a business deal, so you could use a business-defined Erev, which is a Shavu Pruta. The only thing is, there's a gzera, you can't use cash, but you can use kalim or you can use food, and then it wouldn't have to be worth a Shavu Pruta. It wouldn't have to be worth the amount that gives you enough to eat for two suudas. It would have to be worth a Shavu Pruta. So it works in both directions. In other words, if the food isn't worth a Shavu Pruta, it won't work. But on the other hand, if you want to use food and you're not looking at it in terms of a business deal, you have to have chash of the food, and chash of the food is enough for shtei suudot. Shmuel definitely comes out a little bit messy over here. There's so many advantages on the sheet. It's really mishum kinyan, but we ask for cash because we're going to get wrecked. But then, well, actually, it depends what you're thinking. You know, you can become an heir of one way if you're thinking about it in a businessman-like way, and you can it another way because Chazal gave it a bit of a kinyan because it has the chashivut of a very, very tricky kind of approach. We shall see. Every house, actually. But we'll see where we get these things. Abaya said to Rabbi, you know, I don't really understand either approach. It doesn't seem to me that Erev could work like that according to anybody. Not your approach and not Shmuel's approach. How does it work when you have the case that we've basically been assuming all along, where you have Chamishah Shegavuot or Eruva? You have that middle Chatzar, remember Chatzar B. Chatzar B now made an Erev for themselves. They've got maybe five people in this Chatzar. How do they make an Erev with the people to A or the people to C? Well, one person is Molech, Echad Molech Lekul. One individual goes ahead and he is Molech the Eruv to the other people. So that means even if only he himself deposited some bread in the other chatzar, that's enough to make his entire chatzar a participant in that chatzar. So he's created an Eruv between two chatzirot. Explain to me why it isn't Humiu de Kakoni. The one, let's say we're talking about Shmuel's approach. Okay, there's a Kinyan. Who did the Kinyan here? He did the Kinyan. Okay, so then there's only one person of this chatzar that did a Kinyan. Or who knew the Kadair? If you're telling me that he becomes a virtual resident, he's the only one that's a virtual resident because only his food is in that other chatzar. So there's got to be some other ingredient here besides looking at it as diur or kinyan. Because if it's diur or kinyan, how could one person act on behalf of an entire chatzar to create diur and kinyan? It seems to me there's got to be some other mechanism by which we view everyone there as a single individual. Well, you're saying that what happens is that each person becomes a dayar. Or, according to Shmuel, each person becomes a purchaser of that. Okay, so explain to me if what we're dealing with is some type of actual change in my personal status through my Eruv, how one person can affect that change for different people. There's five houses in this chatzar, and because one of them put an Eruv, which you say is only a matter of him becoming an owner, or only a matter of him becoming a virtual dayar, all of a sudden allow everybody to be a dayar. How does that work? Were you here yesterday? Are you familiar with the sukkah of A, B, and C? Right. But I'll review it for a moment, but I mean, that's not a fair kind of thing. If you have three chatzirot, or any, the two chatzirot, the case we had yesterday was three. If a chatzir makes an eruv between the people in that chatzir, then one individual can deposit an eruv in an adjoining chatzir that has a door to this chatzir. And through that, both chatzirot become mu'urav. So if you're saying that all that happens is that they all, in their original eruv, become either virtual owners or they become virtual eaters, I don't care how you look at it, but it's all a virtual thing in which we don't look at them as one individual. So how can one individual create an error for the other people? Either of your pshatim don't make sense. There's a missing ingredient here somewhere because it doesn't fit the data. And Rabbi answered him, come on. I mean, he asked him, who knew the kakani v'tulo? Who knew the kadaya v'tulo? Who else lives there? Who else bought there? Omar, look, man, lo didi kash v'lo shmuel kash. This isn't missing data. It's simply that what we've done is we've created a situation where we view the extension of the Erev as being a tuva for everybody. And therefore we look at it as a shlichut. It's as if they sent him as a representative of the common dining room to have additional people involved in the dining room. So fine, so it's a shlichus to kuluka abit.
If you were to work for Kenyan, how would you work for Zion? Make a shlichut for
Because we are now Dayarim. Obviously, we're allowing here the Kinyan of the Chatzar as a single Rishut. Because otherwise we should need for each individual this amount, right?
Yeah.
Or for each bayit. But the thing is, having once achieved that situation, you don't need a new mechanism, says Rava, to account for the fact that a person can do it. A person can do it mitam shlichut, even without shlichut, if we're so mitakin. And it doesn't mean, it doesn't really mean that we need to look at the whole mechanism in the Erev in the first place as being different because you don't need a formal shlichut. That's part of what we give him, the rights to his name. It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
To this. It's just a glorified chatzar. It's an indoor chatzar. Omar Rabba, Omar Chama Bar Guri, Omar Rav, Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon. Actually, we paskin over here like Rabbi Shimon, because again, we paskin like our most kal shita. And therefore, even though Rabbi Shimon agrees that you can't have the tashmish for B in both A and C, it still would be possible for A and C to have tashmish in B without it being the contradiction. Misha Baba Dera, V'chashchalo. A guy is going around towards his home. It's getting late. He's not going to make it. He's going to end up being more than 2,000 amot away from his home. If there's only 4,000 amot between where he is at the moment of Chalot of Shabbat and his home, he could still make it. How can a person possibly travel 4,000 amot on Shabbat? He didn't put an Erev away 2,000 amot from here. If he knows a place that he can identify, V'haya Makir, Ilan Ogader, he knows a specific place which he's familiar. The Amar, and he simply says, Shvitati Tachtav, and he doesn't specify where. He says, somewhere under that tree. Now, that tree spreads out maybe over 20 square yards, right? So he said, somewhere under that tree. Lo Amar Klum. He hasn't helped himself at all because he hasn't said where his Shvita is. But if he says, Shvitati Be'ikaro, I want to be at the trunk of that tree. Now, I can't get there in time for Shabbat, but that doesn't matter because I can still walk from where I am 2,000 amot to my Mokom Shvita, and I'm making that my Mokom Shvita, I'll make it there sometime during Shabbat, then that becomes his Mokom Shvita. Since that's his Mokom Shvita, he's got another 2,000 amot continuing on towards his home. And if that can get him home, then he can get home. And he doesn't need to deposit an Eruv there. That's correct, he can't go past his own. Because Tachtav would include any of the space, all of those many, many meters beneath the tree, including the branches of the tree. So the branches of the tree may spread out over an area that is larger than his Arba Amot, and therefore there's no, we'll see what the reason is, but let's assume that Pashtut, there's no clearly defined Makom Shvita. You can't have, somewhere I have a Makom Shvita, thank you very much. A Makom Shvita requires definition. So, but if it's defined, if it's well defined, then he can walk the Makom Raglava Ad Ikaro Alpayimama, so he can get from where he is at the beginning of Shabbat, by the way, even if he is, let's say, 3,000 amot away, and he does this 15 minutes before Shkia, and he's able to walk to the 2,000 amot point before Shkia, then he could still get within 2,000 amot. So in other words, he doesn't have to necessarily be at the time that he's saying the Eruv within 2,000 amot. He just has to be able to be in the within 2,000 amot line by the time Shabbat is called. It could be miles away, but he's got enough time to actually walk that.
He doesn't have to see it. He has to.
Exactly. No, this is all mental.
It's like tapping your feet three times.
No. That's passé. That's totally passé. We're talking about now wands, not about tapping your feet. So now.
But there must have been enough time for him to walk
to within 2,000 amot, not to walk the whole thing.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So then he can get all the way to his home. So nimtzem alech mishachashechar batalafim ama. He could actually walk from the time it becomes Shabbat. He can walk 4,000 amot instead of the standard 2,000 amot. Because at the beginning of Shabbat, he is 2,000 amot away from his Makom Shvita, which is a tree in the middle between his current position and his home. And he walks to the tree, because that's where he lives. And then he walks on the other side of the tree, because you're allowed to walk from wherever you live 2,000 amot in any direction. And therefore, he doesn't have any problem.
Why doesn't it work the other way? So if he was in his house, he would need to put an arrow out there 2,000 amot to get that extra 2,000.
He isn't in his house. He's where he is right now.
What I'm saying is, why wouldn't this sort of virtual...
Because we spoke about this before, that the takana of Erev is to have a Makom Shvita. You don't need something there. It's only if you don't want to bother getting there. You don't. I mean, this is the Lo Amar Ela Ba'ani that we're getting to again. This is the Ani Usher problem you had yesterday.
This is, he's no longer, he won't be there at the 2,000. He could be
Anybody who puts an Erev won't be there.
He's not putting an Erev.
But he will be there. Yeah, so mentally, so he can define him up in Shvita.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go there to sleep at night, but I haven't put anything there, and I'm not standing there at Zman Hashem. I thought that doesn't help. Here it seems to be saying,
well, you thought wrong. It does help.
From your house, you could do that also and say, I'm going to go to sleep.
No, because then you're an Ashir. And we already said this is only true for an Ani, as we're about to see. That's what an Ani means, according to me. Let's finish the Mishnah, please. But let's finish. Now, in Eno Makir, or Sheino Bakiba Halacha, if he doesn't know how to apparate, or he doesn't have a place that he can apparate to, so then if he says, Shvitati Bebekomi, then all right, I guess I'm stuck here, so then, Zakalom Makomo, Apaimama, Lechol Ruach, his place now gave him 2,000 amot to all sides, which of course defines a circle, whose radius is 2,000 amot. So they're agulot, debi rebi chaninim and antignos. V'chachamim omrim, no. Merubaot kitabla merubat, kedei she'ed niskar lezaviyot. Actually, what we do is we look at his 2,000 amot as extending north, east, south, and west in a square. No, it's a horrible picture. I have no idea what it's doing.
It's
What is this box around it?
That's just the square. Everything they put in.
Oh, that's a square picture box. Oh,
yes, everything has a box.
And the great part is the
square off edges.
The square part is the additional part you get when you square versus the square.
This one's better. Yeah. This picture's better.
We should draw on that. Those of you at home, I hope you're enjoying the pictures.
Right, but isn't this one better?
What? Which one? Well, this is definitely a lot clearer. Yes.
It's the same deck.
Yes, but, I mean, but neither of them are actually completely correct. Okay. Strange. All right. I mean, so what we're saying here, if you take a look at the picture, what we're saying here is that if we square this off, well, it's not saying what we do after we square this off, but if we square the circle, so we have north, east, south, and west, with an inscribed circle, then obviously the distance from the midpoint of the circle to any of the corners of the square will be not 2,000 amot, but 2,800 amot, approximately, right? So you're marviach that additional alachson. Now the question is, do we circumscribe this square with a circle to provide you the 2,800 amot in any direction it should be going, since we don't necessarily provide it according to the corners of the world?
That we'll see.
Because, I mean, this we're going to be getting into, but well, how we utilize that extra zavit.
Can we rotate
the square? Mm-hmm. Correct. So that basically, we look wherever you are, in whatever direction you're watching straight ahead. Well, but you could also go to the side, right? So then, okay, so then let's rotate. Right. So that your side is now, so the furthest edge now becomes, right.
So whenever we say Alpine Lama, we would be meaning Alpine Shmanamiot.
We would be meaning Alpine Shmanamiot, according to that. Okay, to be seen. Fine. So this way, he would be Niskar Lezaviyot. Now, Zohi, this opening case in the Mishnah, is the famous case where we say Ha'ani Ma'arev Baragav, that a poor man can use his feet to do the walking. All right, so he doesn't need his food to do the walking. He walks with his feet, and he vote with your feet. You know. So you be there. You be there, and you're okay. Now, it's not clear whether we mean Zot, Zui, Shamru. Is this going back on the first case, or is it going back on even the case in which he says Shvitati B'Mekomi? Remember, there's two big Kiddushim here. Kiddush number one, the simpler Kiddush, that you can be in a place to be Kona Shvita, despite the fact that you didn't deposit any food. And Kiddush B is that you can even operate to a place which you're not at, as long as you know it well, and you can say Shvitati B'Mekomi, despite the fact that nobody saw you get there, but you could still say Shvitati B'Mekomi even if you're not there. There's two very big conditions.
When I'm
there. So if he doesn't know how to operate, he's not a Baki Ba'al Lacha.
So Shvitati B'Mekomi means the place I'll be at the time the job is hit.
Place where I am currently.
He is there.
Okay, so this points out that Eino Finami, according to what we said before with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the guy who's asleep, so he doesn't literally mean he has to say it. But if this is the way he's looking at it, he doesn't know he has any other options, then this is where he would be gone. That's a good point Ramadi's made. The bottom line is that it's also a Kiddush, because we thought all along, silly us, thinking that Erevin has something to do with making Erevs. I mean, but actually, you don't need an Erev, you can just be there. Now, the question of whether this was said for an Ani goes even on that, or this was said for an Ani goes only on the big Kiddush of operating. No. an ani meaning, gosh, if you're stuck and you're on the road, what are you going to do? Now, there's a machlokas how to read this. The truth is that there's really a four-way machlokas. It's precisely what defines the ani in this case as opposed to the yashi. I mean, does it combine not having availability of pot and being on the road? So for lack of an option, we give you this option? Or is it literally that somebody who doesn't own pot, so what's he going to do? So we give him the option, which option? Actually being there or walking there? Is the idea of inkona something far away that you haven't gotten to? Is that only if you're on the road or even if you just don't own pot? Okay, there's many different shitot about this. We're going to see more about it as we go along. But clearly we have expanded our horizons at this point considerably in what it is that we're willing to call an error. So it says Rabbi Meir, Anu ein lanu ela ani. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Echad ani ve'echad ashir. It actually has nothing to do with your momentary status. The thing is, actually, this is the main deal. An Erev is a place where you are. It's not a place where virtual food is. The idea of Ma'ariv and Bapat is an extension of this thing, not vice versa. The main din of an Arab is to be there. And by being there, that's your place. Had we left the din kipshuto, then it would have been being there is the only way to assert that this is my makom shvita. What we've done is we've extended that halakha to say, well, you can even send your pot and don't even have to be there. Don't even have to begin being there. Don't have to be on the road to be there. Fine. But so now, if this means a virtual army, then it would mean that a guy who leaves his house and says, I am on my way to the tree. Oy, I'm so tired, I'll never make it to the tree. And goes back home, then that's enough, because he was on the way, and therefore he's an ani. So again, we'll see more of this as we go. But enough in ani. I mean, according to some, that is the definition of the ani situation. We said anu in manuel ani. No, I mean, I would have thought that one. Where's your food? Where's your dining room? Where's your bed? What are you talking about, shvita tibim komi? That's what Rabbi Meir is saying. What kind of shvita is that? Well, we had the extreme shvita earlier. Yeah, sure, you can do that if you bring out your bed and your closet and your stove. And yeah, of course, you could say shvita tibim komi. That would be, in fact, the other extreme.
So this is the makor where we find that your shvita is you yourself being a place?
Yeah, according to the shvita. Again, I mean, according to Beit Shammai, you know, bring your house out there and then you can start talking. You know, put your money where your mouth is. So now when you say lo amar klum, what does lo amar klum mean? Does that mean that you can't move from where you are or what? I mean, all you said was lo amar klum. You said somewhere under the tree and therefore you have nothing? You can't even move? Says Rav, that's right. Lo amar klum means kolikar. Afil ataktav shalilano matziyah. So because basically, look, you do not have the das to be where you are. So this is not your makom shvita. And then the thing that you said, tachat ha'ilan, is nothing. You don't have a makom shvita there because you didn't define it. So you don't have anything. You can't move. This is where you've got. And that's it. So Shmuel says, no. Lo amar klum means you didn't help your situation to get home. You're trying to get home. You didn't help your situation to get home, but you certainly can go somewhere under the Ilan. It's not that you don't. You have a Makom Shvita under the Ilan. Do I need to know exactly where your Makom Shvita is? I mean, wherever it is, you could certainly walk, but you've got 2,000 amot. So the case, according to Shmuel, would be only relevant to where, let us imagine a case, where to the actual trunk of the tree, you've got 2,000 amot, and you've got 2,000 amot from the trunk of the tree to the house. But you didn't say the trunk of the tree. Now, you've got branches that are jutting out here, let's say 30 amot on each side of the tree. You didn't say where your makom shvita is. If your makom shvita, let's say you're in the south, and you say your makom shvita should be under the tree. Now, since you didn't define it, we could say, okay, what does under the tree mean? As soon as you get under the tree. In other words, within 30 amot of the trunk. The problem is, if you're within 30 amot of the trunk, you can get within 30 amot of your house. You can wave to your kids. You know, and they'll all say, hey, I'll say kiddush out here if you can hear, but you certainly can't go into your house.
Yes.
That's the people who have been right, so a lot of good that's going to do you, says Shmuel. What's more is when you, let's say you go to your tree, it also creates a chamar gamal situation, because now suppose when you start walking to your house, you run out of 2,000 psiot beinoniot, 30 amot away from your house. Oh my God, this is ridiculous. I'd rather go to the other side, where at least I saw a nice cave to stay. So let me go back to where I was, and I'll go to 30 amot backwards. You can't go 30 amot backwards, because what if your makom shvita was on the northern 30 amot? And then you should be in your house, but you don't know. But if you try to go back, we'll say, no, wait a minute. Assuming the worst, which is that you were on the 30 amot to the north side, how can you go to 30 amot
foot on the other side, you're already extended maximally, and you can't get back to the cave either. So now you're a chamar gamal situation. So the nazir tachtav shelilan chamar gamal. If you're trying to be modeh b'natzafon in order to get home, we say, oh no, sir. I mean, how do we know you weren't 30 amot away on the southern side? So modedimo min adarom. On the other hand, if he now wants to say, okay, so let me get back home, let me go back, I mean, to my cave, and get back to where I was before I started this nonsense. No, because then, if you're balim dod min adarom, then we say, but what about the chamor, which is the other side of the ilam, it's pulling you in that direction, and then modedimo min adzafon. So you're stuck no matter what.
Because he
didn't define it. It could have been here and it could have been there, and everybody's closing their gemarot. They certainly don't want any more. And we got right smack bang. I mean, this is very rare, very rare. Right smack bang to the end of the daf, when we say tomorrow is daf nun, we really mean daf nun. At first, that's great.
So this is the smaller thing you say. I think it's all three.
Or say exactly where you mean. Say the ikro shalilam.